Dialing 8th and Walton. Conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton Conference Call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
Thank you so much for downloading our little show again this week. My name is Jared Davis, and this is week three of our little podcast series on what happens after you're laid off. We have talked about that first week. We've talked about updating your resume. Today's topic is a little more broad, and even if you're not going through a layoff, but maybe 2018 is just the year that you're ready to take your career to the next level. Maybe you're in a rut and you want to seek something else. It always helps to get some tips on interviewing, and that's what we're talking about today, especially if you have not sat in that chair across from the hiring manager and even know what to expect anymore. We are devoting today's show to getting you in shape to go in there confidently for your next interview. So how are we going to do this? Well, Miss Stephanie Sullivan, who you've heard on the podcast many times, is going to join us here in studio to talk about getting you ready for that interview. Stephanie works with clients every week on their marketing and their personal brand. And you know, most of personal brand is just in the way you present yourself. So we are going to ask Stephanie about what we need to do when we learn we've got a job interview. What needs to take place first before we even get to the interview? What do we need to be looking for when we're in that interview room? And then after it's over, what is the etiquette for follow-up? A lot of great information we are going to get from Ms. Stephanie Sullivan. Stick around. This is the 8th and Walton Conference Call.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
You are back on the 8th and Walton Conference Call. As I mentioned before the break, our special guest on today's show, joining us again on the podcast, Ms. Stephanie Sullivan. Stephanie, always great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about this today.
Well, we've actually had a lot of requests about this, so let's jump right into it, getting back out there and interviewing after you've been off work for a while. So once I've landed that interview, what are some big things I need to do to prepare?
It can be a little intimidating if you haven't interviewed in a while. And so if your resume is ready to go and you feel very confident about that, what I would do is make sure that you've got copies printed for everyone that you're going to be interviewing with. Chances are they're going to have a copy of it also, but you want to be prepared in case they don't. So you want to make sure to make copies of your resume, especially one for yourself that you've jotted a few notes and things on. Also, this seems like a no-brainer, but you really want to make sure that you have a suit that fits and that is freshly pressed and cleaned and that you look really sharp and groomed. You want to make sure that your nails aren't chipped or crazy, and you want to make sure that you don't overdo it with jewelry. So you want to make sure that your appearance is really sharp and professional looking. The other thing that you need to be doing, probably most importantly, is get online and look at behavioral interview questions and print a few of those off and really spend some time in a quiet place jotting down your answers and kind of brainstorm opportunities and examples and situations that you've been in all of your work history that pertain to those behavioral questions.
You touched on this a little bit kind of with appearance, but once I show up for the interview, that hiring manager is coming down to meet me. What are some of the things they're looking for even before the interview starts?
So first impressions say 1,000 words, right? So when you walk into the office, you don't want to be there too early and just sit there in the lobby, but you do want to get there just a couple of minutes early to make sure that you've got a second to catch your breath and get acclimated to the office. I always like to recommend, this is kind of a sidebar, but I always want to recommend to go find your place where you're interviewing the night before or the day or two before, just so that you're not so panicked and rushed that morning of. And so that way, when you get there for the interview, you're cool, calm, and collected. One of the first things that people notice about you is eye contact. Are you smiling? Are you profusely sweating? Are you nervous? You know, they want you to be in your natural self. And obviously, interviews can be a little intimidating, but you always just want to look your best, feel your best, be prepared, and just walk in with confidence but also a lot of kindness. Be sure to be nice to that receptionist because she's going to tell your interviewer her first impression of you. And if you don't think that's important, just ask several people that work in offices and they'll tell you that.
Okay, so being nice to the receptionist, that kind of leads into my next question. Yes. Because once you go into the interview, and I know you've worked with so many people on personal brand and great qualities like this, but what are some of those mistakes that some people will make once they are back out interviewing again for the first time in a while?
Being too comfortable. I think that there is a healthy level of respect and manners that we have to use. Don't take your cell phone in, or if you do, turn it off as soon as you walk into the office. Watches. I was actually in a meeting earlier today and it prompted this thought in my head is that my Apple Watch, every time I get a phone call or a text, it dings on my wrist. And that can be just as distracting as a phone. You want to be completely focused and attentive to the interviewer, and they're going to be looking at all of your nonverbal cues. You want to make sure that you're sitting in a position that shows that you're interested, but that you're also comfortable and that you're engaged in what is being discussed.
Now, what are some of those positives? Let's switch to the positive side. Things that we need to keep in mind in an interview. You mentioned eye contact and showing interest. What are some of the other things that maybe that hiring manager is looking for non-verbally, as you say?
Right. So one of the things that I like to see when I'm interviewing someone, you obviously want to look up the people that are going to be interviewing you on LinkedIn or Facebook, or just Google them, if you will, and they'll pop up. And you want to just see what you can find that correlates with yourself. Did you go to the same university? Are you in some of the same nonprofit volunteer areas? Do their kids go to the same school your kids are going? You know, all these different things. You can find some commonalities that may be professional, but may be more personal. But you want to look for something that gives you a connection with that person that's interviewing you. The other thing that I like to see is, has the candidate done their homework? Meaning, prior to the interview, have you looked at the company's website? Have you been to the store and looked at their items on the shelf? Have you looked at the competitive items? Just think about questions that you would ask about the category and the brand and the company and all of that, and have those questions written out on a piece of paper.
Well, I want to touch on those questions for a second. I was reading an article this week about red flags in an interview, because they do always say, do you have any questions for us at the end of the interview? One of the red flags is, well, tell me more about what your company does. And so they know you've done no homework whatsoever.
Right.
So my question for you is, what are some questions that a candidate can ask that hiring manager that are good, that is really going to make them stick out in that hiring manager's mind? Like, that was great for them to ask.
Right. I always ask these three questions to whomever is interviewing me, especially when you are on a panel or when you're having multiple interviews in the same office on the same day. But I like to say, who is the ideal candidate for this role in your eyes? What is the one thing or the three things that this person can do for you and do better than what the last person did? Because chances are somebody filled that position prior to you being there. There were positives and negatives, and there were things that they could do better, and there were things that they did well. And so you want to know coming in, what are they expecting out of you? I always like to ask, what is the biggest opportunity that's either tapped or untapped? What's the biggest opportunity and what's the biggest challenge that this person in this role is going to face? Or, depending on how the conversation goes, what's the biggest challenge of your company? Another good question, especially in food right now, but across the box in Walmart specifically, how does your brand interact with private label? And what is the future of that? What does that look like down the road? I would venture to say that a lot of brands are going to tell you that we're having to learn to play smarter, not necessarily work harder, because of the rise of the importance of private label within the box. The other question that I think is good, and it's a very telltale sign of the health of an organization, is what are you doing to drive innovation, and what are you doing to increase the relevance and growth of a category? Because a buyer is going to look at a company and say, okay, they're great brand, great product, but they can be a partner to me to help take it to the next level. So a question in an interview, if you're looking at a company, is, well, what are you doing to invest in this category to take it a step further?
Okay, so now the interview's over and it went well. At least I always think it goes well. It may not have.
You will know when you walk out. You will know if it went well or not. Yeah.
So then there's the follow-up, and I've heard all different kinds of things. What is good etiquette for too soon to thank them for the interview or to follow up to see how the job placement's going?
Right. I always like to send an email before the next morning. Give yourself, I think 24 hours is acceptable. In the age of technology, I just usually send an email. Sometimes I'll write a handwritten note, but in today's society, everybody's on the go. An email is perfectly acceptable. You don't want to make it too long. Just a few short sentences of, thank you for the interview. Enjoyed meeting you. Look forward to hearing back from you. You know, the other thing is you always want to close the deal. Obviously, before the interview is over, you'll want to ask for the job. They can't give you something you don't ask for. And then in your email, it's a really good opportunity to remind them of the one or two things that you really add that's really good and really positive for that role, and make sure you ask for the job again.
You know, one of the biggest problems with interviewing is it seems like it's harder to get good at it because you don't do it all the time.
Right.
You know, you do it just when you need it. So are there some good resources or tools or even practices that you recommend to kind of sharpen our skills?
Sure. I recommend two things. One, ask around and you find somebody that's really hard to interview and have them interview you. Do some research, ask some questions, let them ask their questions to you. Let them interview you and be open to that constructive criticism, because of you, the way that you handle yourself in that interview is the way you're potentially going to be handling new people and buyers and things like that. It's because you're nervous and there's always going to be pressure when you're sitting in front of a customer. So let them interview you. Let them be really hard on you. Just practice speaking. And, you know, you always want to make sure that if you have any distracting mannerisms or things that you do that you don't even realize that you do, you want someone to call that out in a safe place, not in an interview. The other thing is there is a camera. A video camera on most of our cell phones. And so what I highly recommend is to video yourself talking. I have yet to sit in an interview or interview someone that I have not said, give me 3 minute spill on yourself. Get really good at talking about yourself in 2 to 3 minutes. Give them that quick, down and dirty, here's who I am, I'm awesome, can't wait to be here.
Stephanie, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for your advice.
Thank you for having me.
That's going to wrap it up for this installment of the 8th and Walton Conference Call. We appreciate you. We are here for you, and we love to hear from you. Hey, this is Jared Davis reminding you 2018 is your year. Stay strong.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at 8thandwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands, are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.